Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, if you thought we had a lot going on in hour number one, we're going to kick off hour number two with a lot more. As we have breaking news of a trade in the NFL, we have a response from Brandon Taubman, the assistant GM of the Astros. And yet we still have plenty to get to in previewing tonight's game, one of the World Series. So,
boy, don't we.
Where do you want to begin, boys?
I don't know. What do you want
to... Let's get the trade out of the way first.
Okay.
Adam Schefter is reporting that the Broncos are dealing wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders and a 2020 fifth round pick to the Niners in exchange for a 2023rd and a 2024th. So, if you just want the quick and nasty, Niners give up a third and a fourth. They get Emmanuel Sanders and a fifth, and that offense gets a little better if you're the Niners.
Yeah.
And Elway is, again, stockpiling picks because, as we said, he's probably – we mentioned this in the whole trade scenarios with the Texans, that the fact that he's going to be a seller, he's going to be stockpiling to start over, and he's going to be trying to save his job.
I'm just waiting to see what Chris Harris gets so we can settle this argument.
Let's do it.
Right, before we move on, though, real quick, Eric Edholm, who's a guy I trust,
yes,
tweeted out, with the Emmanuel Sanders trade, the 49ers don't currently have a 2020 draft pick in rounds 2, 3, and 4. And I think that's telling. It might
the San
mean
Francisco
that
the Texans.
49ers, well, you know,
they
it might
won.
Be in a win-now mentality over there in San Francisco. I don't know.
Better
but
have
I think
the
it's win-now
mentality and only have one loss or no losses. Are they undefeated still, the Niners?
Yeah.
Better to be undefeated and have that mentality than be second in your division.
I'm always over here saying, yeah. Let me double check the standings here.
All right, because you always...
Yeah, 6-0. That's what I thought.
You get annoyed, but the fact that sometimes we have to do this and read quotes because we don't have the audio, but the Astros assistant GM Brandon Taubman has issued a statement based on what happened after game 6, and it goes something like this. This past Saturday, during our clubhouse celebration, I used inappropriate language for which I am deeply sorry and embarrassed. In retrospect, I realized that my comments were unprofessional and inappropriate. My overexuberance in support of a player has been misinterpreted as a demonstration of a regressive attitude about an important social issue. Those that know me know that I am progressive and a charitable member of the community and a loving and committed husband and father. I hope that those who do not know me understand that the Sports Illustrated article does not reflect who I am or my values. I am sorry if anyone was offended by my actions.
Yeah, I saw that somebody, Christian, tagged us on Jerome Solomon's tweet. Mm-hmm. And Jerome actually said the Astros GM, Brandon Taubman, with a statement, a lot of words would have been better to say this directly to the people who took offense. Mm-hmm. And while that's probably true that if you offended somebody, it's good to apologize to them, I have to disagree with Jerome on one thing. Brandon Taubman didn't make this a public thing.
Yeah.
This became public, so he has to make a public statement. He didn't ask for this. I'm sure he didn't want this. So you can't fight a public battle in private. That's a no-win situation for you. So I understand why he had to release a statement. Now, should he probably also reach out to the reporters that were offended? Sure. That would make sense.
I completely agree. I mean, that's the appropriate way to handle it. Easier said than done in the case of Jerome's comments. But, yeah, because of the fact that if this was still something that was bubbling under the surface that people were talking about that they thought they heard, then you could nip it in the bud and you could have those direct conversations. But because the woman works for Sports Illustrated, because Sports Illustrated made it a big story, because of the fact that it's out there now all over the place, then this is the appropriate action. Now, you're right. If you really want to make sure you do your due diligence, then your follow-up is before the game tonight, You get in touch with these reporters
you
involved.
Tell them why you did it.
And you get them into a room and say, let's just have an honest dialogue. This is what I really meant. This is what I said. This is what was said or wasn't said. If you guys have questions, let me know. And then at the end, when we walk out of this room, let's just be done with it.
Right. And that's the thing. Hey, look, I assure you, this was not me trying to throw domestic violence in your face. I was defending him. You guys didn't see it, but over my shoulder, someone was trying, asking a misleading question about how bad Ozuna is. And I was defending him and to whatever reporters were around me, and it happened to be you guys. It had nothing to do, if that's the case.
Right.
By the way, somebody texted and said purple's also for Alzheimer's. That was JT Ag.
I forgot.
Oh. It's so bad. Purple wristbands represent ADHD, chronic pain, cystic fibrosis, thyroid cancer, and trisomy. I don't know what that is. Trisomy 18. Also used to promote premature birth, elder abuse, and domestic violence, among other things. So there's a lot that purple wristband. So you can't just look at it and assume, oh, she's wearing purple in support of awareness for domestic violence.
I would agree with that. But I also would agree that she's wearing a bracelet that stands for something. I should be knowledgeable as the assistant GM of the Astros to know what that is.
Did you just hear how many things it stood for?
Yeah.
How could you know?
Maybe you look into that reporter. You look into that reporter.
Really?
You look at her. Absolutely. And you see what she's passed. Dude.
No way.
The Houston Rockets are not reading articles about what they're being said about their team. I guarantee you they are.
But they're not looking into the what people are passionate
about. I bet you she's got a spotlight all over her now. I bet you that assistant GM is very familiar with that reporter now. And the SI reporter that's doing that.
Oh, no, there's no doubt because she put her name on it. But we still don't know who the reporters were or who the reporter was that had the purple.
He would have an idea who those three reporters are to a certain extent.
Yeah, we don't know which reporter had the purple bracelet on. We do know, like people have pointed out, that it became the forefront of the story.
Yeah.
So that's why we're talking about it in part two. But so that's where we're at with the latest on all of that, and none of it concerns baseball as we have game one tonight.
Let's talk about something good for game one tonight. Sorry if you guys already covered it, but Mattress Mack is doing more great things. No surprise to anyone. Right. He's bringing 100 vets from Camp Hope to game one.
Nice. Awesome.
The source was KHOU.com. Never heard of him.
Me either.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, the cool thing about Mattress Mack is I remember seeing him just standing up in front of Torchy's just like a typical fan, yelling, clapping, and watching the game just like anybody else. And that's the cool thing about Mattress Mack is that cool. he's very much a Houstonian and about what this city represents.
I think the bigger thing too, Nick, is like you talk about that just from a fan perspective, but also just how genuine he is overall. We talk at the Happy Gilmore effect or the Tin Cup effect, where you get a guy that when the cameras are on, that he's your best friend, and Mr. Houstonian, when the cameras are off, he'd kick a dog or, walk the other way. That's not Mac. Mm-hmm. And Barry and I, during the ALDS, got that firsthand. He was in the middle of, taking pictures with tons of fans. Mm-hmm. He was gracious. He was taking every pick and shaking every hand. And we walked up to him, and he gave me a hug, and Barry wanted a picture, and he said, no problem, let's do it right away. And he was just so personable. That's what you like. He's genuine. What you see is what you get. Now, is he a salesperson? Yes. Is he all about focused on marketing and selling for his company? Sure, but he should be. But in the meantime, every other chance he gets and every opportunity to give back to the city, he does, and that is huge, and he's not fake or phony about any of it.
The OG, Mattress Mack.
I've known him for a long time, and I'm honored to call him friend because he's a great dude, and he's not two-faced in any way, shape, or form. Now, the question also becomes, is he still going to do the opportunity? Almost AJ'd there. Is he going to still the win it all, you get it all Astros for the World Series?
Well, that's the whole bet. That was the whole thing.
But can you still buy bedroom sets now?
No, I don't know.
That's the question.
Probably.
Because now your odds are a lot better. You got a 50-50 shot.
That is true. Text him and ask him.
I'm going to have to text
him. You got his number?
I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, go and get on the horn, big guy.
Yeah.
You're the one with all the connects around here.
Let's see if Hannibal Lecter, or not Hannibal, could do that on the A-team. That'd be interesting.
Do that on the A-team. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you know what
I mean. I like that. Do you guys think Yordan's bat will finally wake up during the World Series?
God, I hope so.
I tell you what, don't count on it. He's facing a pretty good – I mean, it, maybe if he lasts long enough to get into that Nats bullpen who had a 580-something ERA. I don't know. If you wanted to, I was basically comparing the two teams statistically every round. I did the ALDS, ALCS. I've tweeted out the World Series breakdown statistically between the Nats and the Astros. And I'll tell you, that bullpen is, to me, these two bullpens obviously are the key. And what you're going to get the production-wise from the bottom of the Astros lineup. I think that's the difference in these two teams. Starting pitching, I think, matches up really well. In fact, the Nats are a little bit deeper because they have a fourth starter, a legitimate fourth starter, and the Astros don't. So that's advantage Nationals in game four. Bullpen is advantage Astros because it's a deeper and better bullpen than the Nats. And when you get to the bottom of the lineup, I think that the Nats, I don't think they're as good as the Astros, you know, 1-6, but they can certainly hold their own. But I think what you're really going to see the difference is 7, 8, and 9. If the Astros can get any kind of production from their 7, 8, and 9 hitters, which they should. I mean, when you have a guy like Correa or Yordan Alvarez batting 7, you've got to get production out of those slots. And if they can, that's another big advantage for them versus a Nats lineup who gets real thin after 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting to me is because the Nats bullpen was scrutinized all year.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, they've stepped up. And from an Astros perspective, the bullpen's always been good. It's just they shuffled.
About time you admitted it.
It's just been that it's shuffled. There's a different cast of characters depending on the scenarios and situations. But the one thing going in is we don't know if you can get anything at all out of Ryan Pressly, or you can believe the fact that, contrary to what we saw on video, he says he's going to be ready. And he was your eighth inning guy. And then Osuna, because whether you think his numbers are fantastic or that there are some chinks in the armor that make you a little worried, the one guy that I will give you credit for but is the most reliable, trusted member of that bullpen that A.J. Hinch is going to call his number time and time again that the Nats don't have is Will Harris.
Yeah.
The man has a 0-0-0 ERA in the playoffs. He's got a 1-5 for the regular season. And when he's come in high-leverage situations, he's delivered. So you know that when it's starter versus starter in these first two games with big names and big arms, and as Barry said, even getting into the third starters, the one thing that you've got in your holster that they don't have if you're A.J. Hinch is a guy you can trust in Will Harris. And a guy that you're getting more and more to trust in Joe Smith.
Yeah.
Guys that you have been battle-tested in this playoff run and have stepped up regardless of what they did in the regular season. And that's a big advantage for Houston.
Yeah, and you pointed out Joe Smith's success in the playoffs and the fact that, look, just – and I got into this battle with somebody – not battle, but argument on Twitter where some guy was like, yeah, you don't leave Harris in there for the ninth. He's not your closer. It doesn't matter. Will Harris can save a game in the seventh inning. If it's bases loaded, one out, because, you know, whoever, whether it's a starter that's fading down the stretch, if it's Greinke that, you know, he gets to the seventh and all of a sudden he's getting lit up and it's bases loaded, one out, and you bring in Will Harris to get those last two outs, that's saving the game more so than going out with nobody on base and no outs to start a ninth inning. So don't sleep on the fact that Will Harris, though he may not be the closer, like Joe said, he's probably the most important arm in that bullpen, period.
Yep.
I think that's why you see a lot of questions being asked about Harris and where you could potentially move him as the postseason progresses. And honestly, I don't know that you look at each game as a game-by-game situation. But yeah, I think he does trust Harris, and I think you will see him more often than not. But that was a question that was brought up when Osuna was having those struggles in the ALDS and whether or not they would consider Harris as a closer. That was a question that was brought up. So, yeah, I definitely see Harris playing, getting some innings, eating up some innings, and I think he should.
Go ahead.
The one thing I was going to say, too, is something you didn't factor in until we got to this point in the playoffs. But guess who's a free agent at the end of the year that's now going to be a bigger deal than he would have been maybe a month or two ago? Will Harris.
Yeah.
He going to get paid.
So I pulled up the stats for the playoffs, postseason 2019, Houston, Washington, just bullpens. Mm-hmm. Houston, 11 games, they have a 4.08 ERA. Washington in 10 games has a 4.76 ERA. Batting average against, though, Washington's batting average against 2.22. Houston's is 2.64. 41 strikeouts to 35. 15 walks for the Astros, 10 for the Washington Nats bullpen. So both bullpens, in terms of playoff teams, there's 10 teams in the playoffs. – including the wild card stuff. You've got Houston is ranked fifth in ERA and Washington is eighth. So a little bit of struggles for Washington, even though they've gotten it done. Their win-loss record for relievers is 8-2 with five saves.
Who knew he wasn't just a kid story, but Dr. Doolittle would be the guy that they call on.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, he stepped up a little bit for that.
Because they went and got him, I think, last year, and he was shaky at times. But he's been good. He's been really good for them. So, now, you know, that's not going to scare you necessarily, but because we talk about it. But Yankees, if you look at their stats about the bullpen, 249 ERA and a 165 batting average against. And guess who lost their chance to go to the World Series? Their bullpen.
Yep.
One of the best closers in baseball, so.
So here's the answer before we go to break on Gallery Furniture.
Yeah.
So Mattress Mack has changed it a little bit. Still doing the promotion, but now it's changed. Customers initially could qualify for complete refunds on purchases of $3,000 or more. On Monday, Mack and Vale reduced the offer to a 50% refund and said he expected that deal to remain in place through the first pitch of Game 1 Tuesday night. So now if you do it, and the Astros win, you get half.
That's still a damn good deal because they're in the World Series. So you've got, they're the favorite. They're the biggest favorite since 2007. So you have a chance to go down there and fill your house up with furniture and get half off. The odds are heavily in your favor as the consumer.
Can you believe he said he's basically willing to put about $20 million in mattress sales at risk through this promotion?
Crazy.
That's a lot of Do-Re-Mi and a lot of springs and comfort in your box. Spring, if you know what I mean.
Hey!
We'll continue to roll on. Got plenty more to get to. Hour number two. We'll also give away some tickets, believe it or not, before you can actually buy them to a football league that you're going to be interested in. The Houston Roughnecks. So stay tuned for that as well. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city on this day of Game 1 of the World Series tonight. 7:08, first pitch scheduled as Garrett Cole will throw it to the Nats, who will be putting Max Scherzer and his two different colored eyes on the mound in Game 1.
Brian McCann, I think, is throwing the first pitch.
To Evan Gattis.
Is that real?
Really weird, but supposedly after announcing true.
After announcing his retirement, yeah.
Are they just doing that for the good karma because they were here the for 2017?
Team. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe that was the problem. They brought Hank Conger in last year to throw out an ALDS.
I mean, if that's
and
the
that
case,
didn't work.
You might as well bring in
Beltran.
No, he works for the Yankees now.
Yeah, but you could bring him in.
Well, bring in who's the backup outfielder for the Yankees that the Stros had too? Cameron Maben. Put Cameron Maben in the box tonight.
Let's just get him.
Put BMAC out there. Put Gattis out there. Let them all get a part in it. Just don't let
Biggio and Bagwell on the field.
Oh, they were there after Game 6.
Well, that's because they had already taken care of business.
Breaking news, by the way, in college basketball, just for those of you that care, including Nicholas, but great news if you're a Cougar fan for U of H. Quentin Grimes, who was a five-star recruit of Kansas and transferred to U of H and thought he was going to have to sit out a year as he was also contemplating going to the NBA, is now eligible immediately.
Oh, thank God.
You got to believe that Kelvin Sampson and his crew just got a huge shot in the arm today. That is a big bonus because they did not expect to have him. That's gonna be fun to watch this year over there at the Fertitta Center. So throw that out there.
I'm looking forward to it. No, I was just reading up on him because there was like controversy as to why he was leaving Kansas. Is coming to Houston. It took him a month to make the decision. And I was just seeing why. I was trying to get a little bit more background information on him. Sampson is doing a great job, man. I was able to go to that last game of the season last year with Kirsten. I remember telling you guys about it, and I love the venue. It's a very intimate, very good place to watch a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
But and I mean that in the most clean way possible. So.
And it has alcohol.
And it does have alcohol. Although the UH mason jar that I put in the dishwasher shrunk about half its size.
Shrunk?
Yeah. It was like a plastic mason jar, and then I figured it was dishwasher friendly.
No.
Negative. Now
shame
it looks like
on
a shot
you
glass.
For thinking that.
I swear it looks like a shot glass. I showed it to Kirsten and she was cracking up. Yeah.
That's too funny.
So hopefully they change that part. But other than that, I'm looking forward to it. And I know you know Samson, Joel, so.
Well, we'll have him on during the year because he's always great about joining us. And I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for him because he's a good dude. And he got a second chance to be a head coach.
Yeah.
And he's doing the most that he can with it. So that's great. So there's that.
Hey, Barry, do you think playoff experience will be a factor in the World Series? I think it can, but I don't think that that's no, I don't think
that's not a team killer.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be what wins or loses the World Series for either team.
You might make that argument with Alvarez, right? He's struggling because of the lack of playoff experience.
No, I think he's just struggling. I mean, remember, guys, look, wow. It's hard to hit. In fact, who was I talking to? I was talking to Huggins. And he was like, you know, Barry, if you look at the lineup, outside of Brantley and Altuve, nobody's hitting. They're getting big hits.
Timely hits.
At important moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Springer and Correa and Yuli and these home runs, but they're not hitting. You're facing the best pitching in baseball. Because all the teams that can pitch usually make the playoffs. That's just how it works. So you're going to be facing the best starters, the best bullpen guys. Remember, I warned you guys going into the playoffs, bullpens get shrunk too. All these, the Hector Rondones of the world, don't matter.
He's on the roster, but he ain't pitching.
Right. And blowouts or extra inning games, that's when you're going to see these guys. So who you're going to see are the top three pitchers and then the top three bullpen guys. That's usually what you're going to see in most games in the playoffs.
There's the reason why Peacock didn't pitch at all at the end of the season because they wanted him ready for this time when they knew he had experience.
Yeah. So it's averages go down. And if guys are going to hit a slump or struggle, it's probably going to be in the playoffs, especially a young guy like Alvarez. But I don't think that because when I think of playoff experience, I mean, look, Altuve, there was a point when he wasn't doing well in the playoffs and he struggled at the plate in a series here or there. And Springer, the same thing. And look how he turns it around. When they made it to the World Series and he won, you know, World Series MVP, he didn't have a ton of playoff experience.
I think where experience really plays a big role in terms of the Astros have more than the Nats is just early on in the series, because there's going to be some guys uptight being on the field for their first time in a game of this magnitude, and fielding becomes very essential. And sometimes you're just a little, you know, you've got to be free-flowing. Players will always tell you, when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, you've got to be your most relaxed. Because if you're uptight or thinking about anything, that's when mistakes can happen. And I think early on, maybe you'll see that. I think even a guy like Howie Kendrick, a veteran that's been there, done that, but this is his first, you know, where he's really going to be forced to play the field in awkward positions. You might see something like that, but we'll see. I said during the Yankee series, though, that I thought that guys like Tucker and Yordan we're really kind of dealing with that first experience with New York media and the stress of a big, the biggest series they've ever been in. But we'll see. I hope.
Well, how do you explain the other six guys in the lineup that aren't hitting?
No, I also see your point in terms of the pitching being a big factor. Because, like, even Yuli. I mean, Yuli was stinging the ball. I mean, he was making phenomenal contact. They said, you know, he had some of the most hard-hit balls in the entire series for the Astros. They were all outs.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Adam balls. Hit them right at him. Right. Now, I will say this, and kind of to your point, but the other area where experience really matters is not necessarily in the game, but leading up to, like, the pre-games and the dealing with the media and the days and hours leading up to the World Series. That's where having experience and knowing what to expect can kind of help you a little bit.
Also helps more so than starting at home.
Because I think once you get in there, you played ball. Once you get into those situations, after the first or second inning or your first at bat or your first out or your first fly ball that you catch in the outfield, everything settles down.
Yep.
And now it's just about playing baseball. So,
but don't you think that helps the Astros starting the series at home too? Because you're taking a Washington team that's never been to the World Series, and you're also putting them on the road right away where they're really going to be forced to deal with tickets and media.
They didn't know where – they had to stay in D.C. because they didn't know, are we going to have to fly to New York or are we going to have to fly to Houston? Houston wins and they get to sleep in their bed for two nights. So in that regard, that's big. But that doesn't have necessarily – to do with experience. But I can tell you one of my experiences with Get Upside is that I'm loving it, and you're going to love it. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, you are insane. Punch yourself in the face and then go download Get Upside right now. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I want you to get that extra cash back on your first fill-up. You can use it without my promo code, but you're actually going to be wasting even more money than if you weren't using it at all. So download it, put in promo code Barry, start using it. And guys, there are hundreds of restaurants and hundreds of gas stations around the city of Houston where you can use GetUpside, and they're constantly adding new stuff. In fact, somebody said they were in Denver. I think Aaron was telling me he was in Denver and used GetUpside. I know I always fill up on the road when I can, and I use GetUpside, but what I also love is that they're starting to add new restaurants, and I saw that they had Dunkin' Donuts in there. They had already kind of had some staples, Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King, but now they've got La Madeleine, they've got Dunkin' Donuts, they've got Sonic. It's really exciting, especially if you eat a lot of food like me. If you eat out a lot, I can really benefit from GetUpside and the money I get back, which is up to 35% every single time you use the app to buy food when you eat out. So you're going to stop and get dinner tonight? Use GetUpside. You can save up to 35%. You're going to stop and get gas before you stop and get dinner? Use GetUpside. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon. Guys, this is free money, but it's your money. Keep it in your pocket. Don't give it to these businesses. Put it back in your pocket. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. 90 in the books, 90 still to go here on the big show.
Where you at, Joel? That's your bad.
Hey, I wanted to bring up one thing about the experience in the playoffs, and you know, we were talking about that, and I actually Googled to see if I could find if there was – why are you gyrating? I wanted to see if there was something like – I couldn't find it, so maybe you can, Nicholas. I don't know.
Okay.
But I was trying to find like, okay, the Astros have this much postseason experience combined with all their players versus the Nationals. I will say this, though. In looking for that, I saw a stat that was on the broadcast – that talked about the Nats are the oldest team in baseball.
See, that's the thing I think people forget.
You're gonna
they hear that. All about the fact that the Nationals have never been to a World Series before.
You assume they're young.
Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer were on Tigers teams with Justin Verlander. So you know they've already been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
No to Zimmerman, no to Rendon, who spent their whole career with the Nats. But they have some veterans. Yan Gomes, the catcher, mm-hmm. with the Indians. So just off the top of my head, I'm rattling off a few where you go, no, they've had experience. They've been to a World Series. It just hasn't been with the Nationals.
So see if you're seeing a trend here, all right? Mm-hmm. The top six teams in Major League Baseball by average, and this is all credit to Matt Weirich on Twitter, Matt Weirich, FBB. The oldest team in baseball, the Nationals, 31.1 years of age. Second oldest team, the Yankees. 30.0 really? Years of age. Third oldest team, the Braves, 29.7. Fourth oldest team, the Astros, 29.4. Fifth, the Dodgers, 29. And sixth, the Cardinals, 28.8.
You want to win, you better have some experience.
And on his tweet he said, but yeah, aim for the cheap young guys, right? So it kind of shows you, look, you got to have a mix of vets on your team. You don't want to be, you know, everybody being 40, but having veteran leadership and guys with experience. Because let's face it, remember this Astros team before, they were young, they were rebuilding. They just didn't have any no veteran presence. They had no veterans on this team to teach them how to be leaders. That's why they went and got Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran.
No doubt.
And then lo and behold, that results in a World Series.
And so
they had talent. They had talent. But they had to get veteran leadership.
And they got Verlander. Not only was he a good arm, but he was a guy that'd been there, done that, experienced pitcher.
Yeah.
And you're right. We kid about throwing out the first pitch stuff, but the difference between that team just being a young upstart playoff team that lost to the Royals that year in a series they should have won, and a team that kept their poise, knew how to prepare, knew how to handle the media, and knew how to go about their business, was led by a bunch of veterans that may have not done anything on the field per se.
But it all
but what they did behind the scenes
room.
Was more valuable than you'll ever know.
Yeah.
For
I
sure.
think that's the best thing about a veteran is being able to forget what happened terribly wrong 10 seconds ago, 2 innings ago, way early in the game. And that mental pressure has got to be hard. And then you just mentioned the PR, which we've obviously talked about. That's added pressure. So, I'm all for veteran experience. I think that's something that's going to actually help the Nationals going into this series.
I found it interesting when they were talking to Justin Verlander to kind of put a bow on the whole veteran leadership thing. Yep. When you talk about it. Because his first inning of that game, the second game that he pitched in the Yankee series, mm-hmm. was awful. And he gave up the 3-run home run. And so he said, well, what do you do at that point? He said, all I could do was go to the dugout, walk down to the tunnel, take a deep breath and say, all right, I have to keep him here and do the best that I can do to keep my team in it. And what he did say, which does and went under the radar, and I think even when he said it, people were like, didn't pay attention to it. But he said, I really felt like I helped my team because I was able to go deep into that game, yes. and they were able to win the bullpen game. So we didn't tax the bullpen, even though I probably could have got run in the first inning. That's a veteran. That's a guy who said, all right, I crapped the bed in inning one, but I'm going to still go out here and go 7 strong because the next game is a bullpen game, and the more arms that get to stay in that bullpen and not have to come out here, the more I'm going to help my team in a different way. That's a veteran. Because a young guy probably just goes out there, craps the bed in inning two, and gets pulled.
And I remember Yankees fans were talking about that. He's like, when they were looking at a particular at-bat that Justin Verlander, he had 9-10 pitches at that at-bat, and they're like, you know what, that's kind of a minor win for the Yankees because Justin Verlander threw 9 or 10 pitches. Well, is it? Because now you've gone further into the inning, and now they can really depend on their bullpen later, as you mentioned. So it depends on how you look at it, but I think that benefited the Astros because they didn't have to worry about bringing out their bullpen until later.
The other thing, Barry, too, to your point, is think about how close Bregman was to two guys, Alex Cora and also to Beltran. Think about a guy like Brian McCann and how close he was to some of the younger players on this team to where they screw up at a certain point in one of the playoff games, and he can put his arm around him and go, I did the same thing when I was your age, but this is what you got to do next time, and this is how you change your prep, or this is what you do differently because you got to be ready for this when this media people or this – and that's the invaluable part of it.
Sure.
That's a big deal. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Justin's been holding a little while. He wants to talk about Zach Greinke. Justin, let's get in here. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for getting me on. I tell you what, this is the big show, even though, Joel, you're on the IL right now. It's still my favorite show.
Appreciate that, man.
I got a quick question. I don't know if I'm mistaken or if I'm imagining this. I remember it might have been on Golic and Wingo I heard this. They were talking about how, and I've heard a couple other people talking about it, if I'm not mistaken. Does Greinke really have a pretty decent bat? Like if he comes up to bat, and it's kind of unusual for a pitcher, you know, to bat or have a good bat. But is he a good batter? Why haven't we seen him bat? And will we see him bat in the World Series?
Thanks for the call, Justin. My partner talked about that yesterday, so Barry, without further ado.
Yeah, he does have a good bat. In fact, yesterday when we were talking about it, I mentioned that I think that there was a stat that came out that the average Major League Baseball pitcher, his batting average is about 115 or 118. Zach Greinke hits 225 for his career. This year, he hit 280, split between, you know, 54 plate appearances with Arizona and the two that he got. The one, I think it was Milwaukee, is when he had his at-bats, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he hit 280 on the season. Yes, you're going to see him bat because of the way that the lineup shapes up. Again, let's go back and thank Justin Verlander for saving the bullpen that allowed him to win the bullpen game and Jose Altuve, because now you get it perfectly. You get Gerrit Cole to start game one, you get Justin Verlander to start game two, and the best bat in the rotation gets to go on the road and actually hit in game three in Washington, and that's Zach Greinke.
Now, Barry, can you take a step further, though? Because what you really want to know, too, is why we haven't seen him to this point in the playoffs as a hitter. Because I'm thinking with your Dan struggles, I'm thinking that there's a chance that Greinke could be a guy that has a little extra value.
Listen. Yeah, I'd put him in. No,
you got mad at me when I said I'd put Diaz in there for him.
No, you haven't seen Zach Greinke hit yet because there's a designated hitter. So pitchers don't have to bat until the World Series when you're in the National League Park. And that's when American League teams can't use the DH.
DH games in the 1 National and 2, no DH, 3, 4, and 5. If it goes 6 and 7, DH again.
Yep.
That's how you
so
got
So you
that.
Will get to see Zach Greinke bat. You will see Gerrit Cole bat. And that's probably a good thing because those are the two with the most recent National League experience at the plate.
All right, before we go to break, real quick, going to give you a chance to win something. Head coach June Jones and the new Houston XFL team, the Roughnecks, are going to be kicking off in February, the week after the Super Bowl. Their first game is going to be at TDECU Stadium, home of the Cougars. If you want to go to that game before you can even buy tickets, we're going to give them away right now. You win a pair. If you're caller 14, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, caller 14, two tickets to the opening game of the XFL and your Houston Roughnecks. If you don't win them, you can get them. XFL at roughnecks.com is the website to get your tickets. They don't go on sale until Thursday, and you don't want to miss out. Houston Roughnecks going to work for H-Town.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number two with this segment as we head through 3 hours of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Couple things, Justin. I was making a point, but using your voice, so I appreciate you being a good sport about that because it was a good call and a good question. And Barry and I had been going back and forth on the fact that I think you should sit Yordan for a game, at least in the Yankee series I did. I'll see how he does. I would definitely start him tonight.
I would sit him in game 3, 4, and 5.
That's pretty smart.
Because there's no DH. Get it, Joel? Do you get it?
Barry, I was trying to figure that out. Why didn't Yordan play in game 3?
Were you talking about his text to the show? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I want to make sure because he's a suspect. So I appreciate that.
It's a nice impersonation.
And,
keep it up.
Shout out to Chase, who's listening in Seattle and not only gave us some information about Mattress Mac, but also is now trying to be an executive producer of the show by sending us video highlights of Zach Greinke hitting.
Chill out. What's his name?
Chase.
Chill out, Chase. We got this. It's all good, buddy. All good. You just relax and listen. We'll handle it from here. Thanks, guy.
Guy. When you've gone to the guy card.
Thanks, fella. Okay. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, pal.
All right, moving on, big dog. So before we get, you know, because we've obviously been, look, we've been baseball heavy, but that's because of the fact that it's the World Series. If you don't like baseball now in this city, you just hate baseball and just probably need to either get on board or go fly a kite.
Get out. Go move to New York, jerk. By the way,
I don't wish that on anyone.
Did you see that Kimmel video? Oh, it's so good.
Which one?
We need to play the audio of it. But which Jimmy one, Kimmel, the one where
Kimmel.
They interview.
Oh, Kimmel, you said?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. The Kimmel
I didn't know
video.
What you said. I said
Kimmel video.
I thought you said camo video as well.
Kimmel video.
Okay. You know, he does talk weird.
That you twang.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Say Dell.
Dale. But he went on the streets of New York to interview. Hey, did you want to, you know, do you like the Astros? They're like, man, bleep the Astros. Like, every single person in the interview. Now, obviously, there's editing involved because I'm sure there were some nice New York. Just kidding. There's no nice New Yorkers. It was pretty funny, though. They were like very, if I see, tell Jose Altuve I work over there on 59th and 7th. Come catch a beating, eh? Like, it was awful. It was typical New York douchebaggery.
Which is
exactly what you would
all
expect.
All day, every day.
Right. Speaking of douchebags, did you watch the game last night, Patriots? Like the transition.
Yeah, nice.
We already covered it. Got the audio, Nicholas?
I do. I just pulled it.
Oh, yeah. Play it. This is great.
What is your name, ma'am?
Donna.
Where are you from, Donna?
Brooklyn.
Wonderful. Donna from Brooklyn, would you like to wish the Astros good luck in the World Series?
Absolutely not.
Anything you want to say to them?
I do. I want to say, Altuve, that was a nice shot, but next time we're going to throw at your head.
What?
Would you like to congratulate the Houston Astros on going to the World Series?
The Astros.
The Houston Astros, New York Yankees all day. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Yankee.
I want to tell that little Altuve to come out.
I was going
to
say she went on Jeopardy.
We'll throw him a beating.
Do you like to say the Houston Astros? Look right now and tell
him. The Houston Astros.
You want to congratulate the Astros on going to the World Series?
Hell no. The Astros. Astros. And Altuve, little tattoo looking bastard. I hate him. Go Yankees.
Damn. Anything you'd like to say to the Astros?
Yeah. Them, they suck.
Not as bad
you
as you.
You a Yankees fan?
Yeah, baby.
Anything you'd like to say to the Houston Astros?
Go yourself. Is that good?
Anything you'd like to say to the Astros? Look right in there and let them know.
Congratulations.
He gave the middle finger. Yeah, he gave the middle finger. Yeah, one of them was Rosie Perez, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, she was preparing for Jeopardy.
Yeah, right? You know what a quince is? It's a food that starts with the letter Q, Billy.
That's right.
That's the best.
That's what
she sounded like.
If you're a Yankee fan and you say the Astros suck, their level of suck isn't as bad as your level of suck because they beat you.
That's what I said. The most New York thing I've ever seen was after game three and the Astros won on the road in New York, a bunch of dumbass New Yorkers, Yankees fans, stayed around for postgame to chant, "Houston sucks." Really? Because the team that you root for just lost to them. That makes no sense.
They do that after the Jets game last night?
Yeah.
New York sucks.
Yeah. Boston sucks. Really? Because y'all lost 33-0. I don't know that I would be chanting about how bad of a team is.
Are the Dodger fans trying to jump on the bandwagon to feel relevant because their team's not playing either, but now they want to jump for the first
about
time in their lives.
Yankees fans
yeah,
are?
They want to jump on with Yankee fans to pile on Astro hate.
All right, let's settle this once and for all. Worst fan base in baseball. Is it the Red Sox fans, Yankees fans, Phillies fans, or Dodgers fans, or Giants? Because the Giants fans are apparently garbage, too.
I think it's straight Yankees fans.
I'm with you.
I think it's between Yankees and Red Sox at the very minimum. I'm not really going to say Dodgers fans are as bad as Red Sox or Yankees fans.
The only thing when you get into Dodgers and Giants, like Barry said, is when you've got fans trying to kill other fans in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's
in several occasions. That's pretty damn bad.
Yeah. Pretty bad. But I mean, look, what they did to Zach Greinke in the bullpen,
awful.
Inexcusable. Throwing stuff on the field, inexcusable.
A guy at a urinal that can't defend himself, and you wait till he's got his back turned, and you throw a beer off his shoulder.
Did you see where Lance McCullers offered the guy that got stuff thrown on him, World Series tickets?
That was El Jefe, right?
No, it was
the guy that was up the aisle. No,
you're so wrong.
Because literally, I don't know if you noticed or not.
Someone tweeted that.
Look like El Jefe.
He told me that literally people thought it was him, and then he showed me screenshots of people that were like sympathizing, thinking that it was actually El Jefe because it looked like him going up the aisle.
He took that heat like a soldier, dog.
Yeah, he did. What was he throwing up? 713?
That's what I thought he was doing. I assumed it was 713.
He was doing like 713 or something like that, but they were throwing beer in his face.
I think it was 713 and 281.
Apparently, him and his wife, they were there and they got tickets and they were sitting around, obviously a bunch of Yankees fans. But this is what my wife was telling me. I have no idea if this is true or not, but I have to trust her because I'm married to her.
She's a nurse.
And
a good one.
Apparently, all nurses are horrible people, according to you two.
I didn't say anything about your wife.
Too late, fellas. But she said that those two, the Astros fans, that was the dude and his wife, they went and bought a bunch of food and they were sharing it with Yankees fans around them. They were like, "Hey, you guys want some of this food? We bought extra." So they were trying to be cordial. And they even said, "We just wanted to show them that Texas hospitality." Mm-hmm. We're trying to be nice. Mm-hmm. So one guy decides that he was like, "Hey, let's take a selfie together." And the guy's like, "All right, cool." So they go to take a selfie, and he's holding like a Frito pie or something. And the guy is trying to smash the Frito pie into his face while he goes like, 3, 2, 1. And then he tries to throw the guy's Frito pie in his face as he takes the selfie. But the guy saw it coming, so he moved, but it got all over his jersey. Which, dude, chili stains aren't coming out of a baseball jersey.
No.
So that right there, I would have immediately fought that dude. I would have just punched that dude dead off in
the
face.
Time to get kicked out.
Yeah, it's time to go. It's go time.
Yep.
But you know you're going to get jumped on by a ton of Yankees fans, but I'm going out on my shield at that point because now you ruined my jersey.
Yeah.
But then, you know, so the security came and they were going to throw the Astros fans out. And
typical
some,
New York.
Right. But so, to their credit, some Yankees fans were like, no. They didn't do anything wrong. It was these other guys that were doing it. So they were like, and the guy was like, "Yeah, dude, look, I got food on my jersey." So they said, "Come with us." And so that's when it happened. They were escorting them up the stairs. The people were throwing stuff and booing them. They took them and sat them behind home plate to watch the rest of the game. So they got to watch behind home plate at Yankee Stadium for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And then Lance McCullers tweets the dude privately, sends him a message and says, "Hey, bud, no fan should have to go through that rooting for their team. if we get to the World Series, we got to take care of our business, but I got a ticket with your name on it. Go Astros, and I'll be in
touch. That's fantastic.
Lance has been a fantastic follow on Twitter, by the way.
And he went after LeBron after all the comments and the backlash about the Daryl Morey comments.
Yeah. Yep.
He's been real active. And the best news of all is when he's tweeting out video of him on the mound pitching, and it starts to look better and better, and you're like, oh, you can do all you want on social media, but to see that and know you may be ready to go for next year is better than all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, so, by Lance McCullers, though.
Very cool. Yep.
People were saying he was throwing up 3-1 since they were up 3-1. That's what I'm talking about.
That's how you go out, that's man. That's what I'm saying. That's an example Astros fan right there.
They threw the beer in his face, and he still flashed the 3-1 with beer dripping off his glasses. He's like, yeah, bitch, you can't change 3-1.
I totally would
interview
that dude, man.
And that was cool.
Yeah, and the other thing was Art Acevedo, the police chief for Houston, came out yesterday and said, bottom line is, we don't want to be like Yankees fans.
No.
So we're not going to tolerate any of that. And we know that our fans aren't going to do that. But if you hear about it, any Nationals fans hear about it, tell us about it. We're going to take care of it, because that's not the environment we want and the reputation we want Astros fans to have, which is great.
What's funny is this argument over who's the worst fan base, right? And on my timeline on Twitter, a buddy of mine who's a comedian from L.A., he's a huge – he's the one that I made the bet with that he didn't go through with it. We had a World Series bet. He's a huge Dodgers fan. And we said, all right, whoever loses has to wear the opposing team's hat and shirt
I remember that,
and their profile pic for
and
a
month.
And
he wouldn't do it.
And he wouldn't do it. And I was like, well, that just tells me the kind of person you are. But he was he was trying to say – he goes, oh – because people were like, dude, Dodgers fans are awful. They damn near killed somebody. He goes, well, what about this? And it was Astros fans fighting each other. Who cares?
Oh, that was at a bar. I saw it.
No, it was in the promenade or in the concourse. They just fought each other, and then everybody got up and walked away. I did hear about that.
I saw another one at some local bar where literally Astros fans wearing white jerseys fought Astros fans wearing blue jerseys,
yeah,
and it was a free-for-all. Exactly.
It was home and away.
Like, who does that? And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned
Astros fans, we only fight each other.
I'm glad, before we go to break, I'm glad you mentioned that about bets and not paying them.
Yes.
Shout out to Crystal Collins, because she's lost far too many bets that we can count with her Cowboys and my Packers.
Oof.
She had a care package for me yesterday.
Oh. Nice.
All I can say is that Taylor enjoyed it a lot more than me, because she decided to go to Fanatics, which I thought was great. But she got a Packers squishy toy with googly eyes that my daughter loves.
That's cool.
She got a lunch bag, which my daughter loves. And she got me a Packer hat, too. So thank you, Crystal.
Very cool.
Appreciate it. Look forward to doing business with you again real soon. Two in the books. 1 hour to go. 60 minutes left of the show. We come back and do that next right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.